You're listening to another inspiring teaching from Devonport Church of Christ, Tasmania, Australia. For more information about our church, please log on to www.devonportcoc.com.au.
A man took a vacation to Israel with his wife, with his mother-in-law, and during their time in the Holy Land, unfortunately, the mother-in-law unexpectedly passed away. Well, the following day, the husband met with the local undertaker to discuss funeral plans. The undertaker said, in cases like these, there are a couple of options you can choose from, the undertaker explained. You can ship the body home, and that'll cost you about $5,000, or you can bury her here in the Holy Lands for just $150. Well, the man took a minute to think about it, and then he announced his decision that he was going to ship his mother-in-law home. Well, the undertaker was intrigued by his decision and said, well, that's an interesting choice. Can I ask why you'd pay $5,000 to ship your mother-in-law home when you could easily bury her here in the Holy Lands for just $150? The man promptly replied, sir, let me tell you, about 2,000 years ago, a man died and was buried here. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And I can't take that chance. I got so many more like that, but I'll just save them. The reality is that Jesus' resurrection that we're here today to celebrate is more than just a story. It was and still is the most important and significant event that's taken place in all of human history, whether you know that or acknowledge that or not today. We gather today because of this event. Without an empty tomb and without a risen Jesus, we have no faith. It is the cornerstone event that we celebrate today. We have no hope. In fact, we have no living hope. But because the tomb is empty, we have this great living hope for this life and the life, promised life to come. Because if there is no empty tomb, then we have no hope and we are still dead in our sins. When Jesus died, he cried with a loud voice, which I talked about on Friday, it is finished. The Pharisees and described hoped that he was finished. The demons of hell, they had a holiday because they thought Christ was finished and they thought that they had thwarted the work of redemption that Christ had came to do. But Jesus did not say, I am finished. Jesus said, it is finished. What he was saying, as I spoke about on Friday, is that the work of atonement and forgiveness of sin has been finished. The sacrifice for our sins was finished. The plan of salvation was finished. Sin, death, and hell and the grave were finished. And there remains no more sacrifice for Jesus to make. Because that ultimate sacrifice was once and for all. And all of that was necessary for man to be saved. All that was necessary was finished. For Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's why salvation is Jesus plus nothing. It's not Jesus plus works. It's not Jesus plus door knocking. It's not Jesus plus baptism. Jesus plus church attendance. Jesus plus ritual. Salvation is by faith in Christ and in Christ alone. In the Bible days, it was the custom for a family member to close the eyes and kiss the cheek of their past loved ones. And at the end of John chapter 19, John tells us that when Christ died, it actually fell to Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus to perform this task. It was these two men who loved Jesus so much that they begged Pontius Pilate for Jesus' body, that it might be prepared for burial in the proper Jewish custom. And in my mind's eye, I can see them carrying some form of ladder to the cross. They climbed up the side of the cross and pulled Jesus' hands off the nails. I'm not sure how they did that at that angle, but they did. They managed to do it. It was unthinkable that they could get those spikes out of his wounds. Once the hands were loosed and they let Jesus' body down, possibly by a sheet. And then they took the nail out of the feet. No doubt they prepared Jesus' body in the traditional Jewish way. The body must be washed, wrapped in white linen with his hands folded over his chest. And they closed his eyes and they kissed his cheek and placed a napkin over the face of Jesus. For 3 days, the Jewish leaders were in cahoots with the Roman government, who schemed to make sure that nobody would steal the body. For 3 days, the forces of darkness, the demons of hell, and Satan himself rejoiced in their supposed victory. But then came the day of all days. Like, D-Day wasn't the day of all days in 1944. This was the day of all days. And then came the third day. The stone was rolled away and Jesus came forth alive forevermore with victory over death, hell, and the grave. And Mary was the first to come to the empty tomb. She is frightened to see the stone had been rolled away. Can you imagine? And she ran to get Peter and John, and together they returned to the open tomb. And Peter went in to see that the grave clothes were lying there, but they noticed something else. And I don't know if you picked up on it. And it's only in John's gospel that John actually describes this particular detail for us. In John's gospel, he tells us that the napkin which was placed over the face was not thrown aside, just like the grave clothes. The Holy Spirit is careful to point out that the napkin was neatly folded and was placed at the head of the grave. What was the significance? I mean, for most people, they read over that and they just read it and think, no big deal. But let me explain to you this morning the big deal of that detail. What was the significance of that neatly folded napkin? Hebrew tradition holds the answer for us this morning and helps us to understand how important John's detail of the folded napkin is in the empty tomb. The folded napkin had everything to do with the master and servant tradition. When the servant set the dinner table for the master, he would arrange the table perfectly. The servant would just wait outside, like you see in the movies, like just wait behind the curtain, that kind of thing, waiting out of sight until the master had finished dinner. And when the master had finished eating, he would rise from the table and use the napkin like we would do ourselves to wipe his hands and face, and then would scrunch the napkin up and leave it on the table like most of us do. The master, having finished the meal, the servant would know that it was all right to clear the table because the napkin was crunched up and thrown aside. The scrunched up napkin meant that the master said to the servant, "I am finished." But if the master got up from the table and carefully folded the napkin and had it by his plate, the servant then knew that the folded napkin meant, "I'm not finished yet." The folded napkin meant that the master was coming back to the meal. The scrunched up napkin meant, "I'm finished," but the folded napkin meant, "I'm not finished, I'm coming back." And after 3 days of uncertainty and despair after Christ's death, I want you to picture this, they walk into that empty tomb and they see the folded up napkin and they knew immediately, our Lord is not finished, he's coming back. Peter, the folded napkin, oh my goodness, he is coming back. He is alive. The Lord is not finished. He's coming back. This napkin, and I want to say to you today, church, that the napkin is still folded. Hello. The napkin is still folded on this Easter. That means some significant things for you and I today. If you're a believer, and if you're not, that folded up napkin has implications for us today. That folded napkin speaks to us of the unfinished work of Christ. See, on Friday he said, "It is finished." The work of atonement is finished. But the empty tomb and the folded napkin says that there's a whole heap of unfinished business and work of Jesus still to come. And I've got to tell you, that is good news for all of us, whether you're a believer or whether not yet. What is the unfinished work? What is the unfinished Easter work of Christ because of the empty tomb and the folded napkin? Well, the first thing is that Christ's work of redemption is unfinished. Christ's work of redemption is unfinished. Praise God that Jesus is still in the business of saving souls, of men and women and boys and girls. That work is not finished. And that's good news for many of us who have loved ones and friends and work colleagues who we know don't know Jesus like we do. His redemptive work will continue until the day that the last soul is saved that completes the body of Christ. And until Jesus fulfills his promise, that promise. But once he fulfills that promise, he'll come again. He will be redeeming men and women, boys and girls. And the word redeem, simply, it means this picture, to buy back. It's like this, the idea of purchasing back a slave. The practice of buying the freedom of slaves. Jesus is in the business of freeing captives. All around this world, wherever the gospel is proclaimed, people are being brought out of the bondage of sin and death and the law. From the bondage of hell and death. And they become adopted and become sons and daughters of the living God. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, 41, this is what his word says. He says, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached around the world, which it is right now, as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. So you and I who want the end to come and would like to go to heaven and be with Jesus, then we should just be praying for all the missionaries in the 1040 window of unreached people groups in the world that cuts through the top of India and right across Afghanistan. That we should be praying for, that's right. And then the end will come. As long as Jesus delays his coming, there is hope for those who Satan holds bondage and captive. Whether they are chained by the bonds of addiction, drugs, alcohol, rebellion, or just simple and plain old school unbelief, the work of Christ can free them from the law of sin and death. All of us have neighbors, friends, loved ones, classmates, work colleagues, who the Bible says are lost without Christ. The work of redemption is unfinished. And for any of you here today who are in that boat and have people like that in your life, you should say, praise God, the work of redemption is unfinished. The story is not over. You say, oh, it's over. They could never come to Jesus. No, it's unfinished. The story's not over yet. The story's still being written. The work of redemption is unfinished. People are being, do you know that people are being redeemed every day, friends, around our world? Do you know that all around the world, and especially in the Middle East, that Jesus is miraculously appearing to Muslims? I talked to you about the physical appearance of Jesus. Jesus is physically appearing to Muslims in the Middle East. You realize this? I could tell you stories about Kerembocan prison in Bali where Jesus is walking through prison cell doors to speak to Muslims. I've spoken to someone when I was in Jakarta a few years ago. Says, Jesus, I am Jesus, follow me. I don't know if you're aware that it was reported that last year that Jesus was appearing physically to people. He was appearing physically to people, and he was particularly appearing to a stack of Muslims in their dreams. And it was highly reported last year that Jesus was physically appearing to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Muslims during Ramadan. And you say, well, I didn't hear about that on the 9 o'clock news or the 6 o'clock news. I just want to tell you that Jesus is physically appearing to Muslims. Jesus is appearing to people in their dreams. because he wants everybody to be saved, that no one would perish, even Muslims, especially Muslims, during the holiest of their years, during Ramadan. Jesus is walking through prison cells in Karabakan prison in Bali to say, I am Jesus, to people who need it most. You can read about this. It's not a secret. Christ's work of redemption is unfinished, church. Praise God. And because of Easter, Christ's work of restoration is unfinished. When Mary Magdalene saw the resurrected Christ, he instructed her to go and tell my disciples and Peter that I am risen. Why did he single out Peter? Why was Peter specifically mentioned? Well, it was because at the time Jesus was taken prisoner and put on trial, and we know that Peter was AWOL. That he lost fellowship with Christ. The fact that Peter fell from fellowship with Christ shows that it could happen to any Christian. It could happen to any of us. Peter was more surprised than anyone that he could deny Christ three times. I mean, remember, he's Peter. Yeah, he's outspoken. He speaks first, doesn't listen. And yet he was the one who put himself out there that day. He was the one who said, none of you are going for it. I'm doing it. I'll tell you who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. Peter made this amazing, amazing claim. It shows us that the greatest Christian, even a Billy Graham, must be vigilant about his relationship with the Lord. Paul instructed us to be aware that if we think that we stand, that lest we can fall. Paul said that he had disciplined his body while he preached to others, that he himself, if he wasn't careful, could become a castaway. And what's a castaway mean in the original language? It basically means to be put on the shelf, to be unusable by God. No longer usable. It tells us that there can be times when a Christian, a believer, can become so disconnected from God, so disconnected from the faith, so disconnected from the church, that they can commit a sin so great that it makes them impossible for God to use them. And if the Bible says that about Peter and Paul, what makes you and I think that it couldn't happen to us? But thank God that Jesus is still in the restoration business this Easter. That's why he specifically mentions Peter. And I know Simona's going to preach about this in a couple of weeks. That Jesus restored Peter to usefulness. And he went on to preach at Pentecost and 3,000 souls got saved. And friend, you might be here this Easter and there was once a time when you believed. Maybe there was once a time when you served God wholeheartedly and you served his church wholeheartedly. Or maybe you're here today and you think, man, I have badly stuffed up in my life, that I've made mistakes that weigh me down, have brought shame upon me. You may feel like I've thrown away a piece of garbage this morning, but that's not how Jesus sees you today. That's not how Jesus looks at you. Jesus is in the restoration business of people's lives, relationships, families, and marriages. See, Christ's work of restoration because of the folded napkin is unfinished. Are you with me? Let me tell you something else. Christ's work of resurrection is unfinished because of the folded napkin. I'm not finished. I'm coming back. Christ's work of resurrection is unfinished. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says this, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Jesus, I'm going to tell you something right now, and I can tell you this because of Easter. Jesus will not leave a single bone in the ground for the devil to gloat over. For those who have died in Christ. This is part of what Jesus is the first fruits. Jesus' resurrection, what we're celebrating today, Paul says that's the first fruits of resurrection. And I believe that the Bible teaches that the Spirit, and for those of you who've lost loved ones, who've died in Christ, I want to tell you that I believe the Bible teaches that the spirit of every saved person goes to heaven the moment of their death. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "For we know that if this body is destroyed, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The body goes into the ground, but the spirit goes to God." And further on it says, "For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." The believer, these are just, I'm just preaching just mainstream Orthodox Christian beliefs here. The believer is then given a spiritual body in which to dwell until the coming of the Lord takes place. But when Christ descends for the rapture, every believer who has died in the Lord will be resurrected and given a glorified body like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you that this is not conjecture. For the Christian believer, this is not conjecture. This is not wishful thinking. This is not conjecture. For Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 that God will change our, I talked about, preached on this a few weeks ago, that God will change our body, our vile body, like his own glorious body, that he will transform us and give us bodies like Jesus had when he rose from the dead. It was a body similar to that he had before the crucifixion, but much improved. Let me tell you, it was a body that could be recognized and you could travel at the speed of thought. If you want to know what the resurrection body will be like, well, here's an example that Jesus could travel at the speed of thought in his resurrection body. It was a body that could process and ingest food, yet it was a body that could pass through the walls into a room without going through a door. Paul said that beyond these hints, Paul said it's still a great mystery. But it is enough for me to preach to you today. And it is enough for me to know that just as Jesus had victory over death, hell, and the grave, so will we because of Easter and because of the folded napkin. Hello? See, they even agree. And finally, because of the folded napkin and the work of Easter, Christ's work of rapture is unfinished. Now, I use a word here that might not be familiar to some, but it's a biblical word. I never tire reading about it. I never tire of thinking about what it would be like to be living on planet Earth when Jesus returns. Maybe some of us won't get to see that if we die in Christ. Either way, doesn't matter, we'll be with Jesus. But I never tire thinking about what it'd be like. We get this word rapture from 1 Thessalonians 4, where Paul says that right after the resurrection of those who have gone to be with the Lord, that we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall ever be with the Lord for eternity. No more ills, no more pills, and no more bills. The word's actually caught up in the original, in the Greek, mean to be carried away by a powerful force. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to be, I'm not talking about a wind or a hurricane, but be carried away by such a powerful force that you would just lift it up into the air. It would be like metal attracted to a magnet. That you are carried away by such a powerful force that every living believer in Jesus Christ on this planet will rise to meet Jesus like metal rises to a magnet. And the Bible says that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will also be changed and will be given glorified bodies. You say, what has this got to do with Easter? Everything. Everything to do with Easter. Some people think, I don't believe this by the way, but some people think that when that happens with our glorified bodies one day, that we'll all be the age 33 because that's when Jesus was when he died and God is. I don't believe that to be true. And in fact, if that is true, that would be good news for us older people and bad news for the teenagers. Because I think to myself, I would love to be 30. I'd love to have a 33-hour body. That'd be good. But when Christ comes in the rapture, and I'm just going to preach the Bible here. You want me to do that, right? When Christ comes in the rapture, it's only for his people. The unbeliever, the unsaved, the scoffer and mocker, the Bible says they're left behind. And again, I'll just tell you what the Bible teaches. Is that okay? Maybe. Revelations chapters 6 through 19 reveal that there will be 7 years of tribulation when Christ the Lamb will pour out his wrath of God on unbelieving and the scoffing world, and every person who's rejected Christ will be forced to take the mark of the beast or the one world leader who'll arise during this time. And judgment after judgment will come. And the Bible says that mountains will be removed from their places and cast into the sea. That there'll be wars and natural disasters that will destroy Earth's ecology. Jesus said then there will be a time of tribulation and persecution that the world has never ever seen and will never see again. And billions will perish. The sun becomes so hot that boils break out on men's bodies. The Bible Revelation also talks about that there was a bottomless pit that will be opened, and demons so powerful and so evil that God is not allowed to be loosed will be loosed during this time to torture the minds of men. And Jesus said that the sun would be turned into darkness and the moon into blood and the stars would fall from heaven. And I'm so glad that I won't be here to see it. And neither will you. And I mentioned that this today, and I was thinking, I'm not sure whether I'm going to talk about that today. But I did. And I say all of that. I say all of that to say, friends, we are living in a closing window of opportunity. But in this day of grace, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He offers his mercy, his forgiveness, and his grace. But just as he offers salvation for those who receive it, there is also punishment for those who reject it. And I say thank God for Jesus, right? Thank God that he is slow to anger and he's very, very patient. And people say, why isn't Jesus returned? Because he's slow to anger and he's very, very patient with you and me. And whether you acknowledge it or not, on this Easter Sunday 2024, God loves you. God loves you. He sees everything about you. He knows everything about you. He knows everything you've said and everything you've done. He knows everything that you've thought. And he still says, I still choose you. I still choose you. He wants you to consider the things of eternity. And he also wants you to consider your upcoming death. And I say all this with much humility to say to everyone here that eternity is approaching us at 1,000 miles an hour. What will you do? And how will you respond to Jesus, who is God? Jesus said these words, and this is what separates every other world religion from Christianity. Jesus said these words about himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. On this Easter Sunday 2024, over 2,000 years since the grave napkin was folded by Jesus, but his work in this world remains unfinished. And his work in your life remains unfinished. His salvation work in your family remains unfinished. His salvation work amongst your friends remains unfinished. His work in our lives remains unfinished. The folded napkin means that Jesus is returning. He's coming back. Resurrection life is available. Because of that, salvation is here today. At the conclusion of John chapter 20, Mary Magdalene runs back to the house where they were to tell Peter and John and the other disciples. You know what she said? She said, "I have seen the Lord." She said, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." And when you've seen the Lord, you can't unsee the Lord. When you've seen Jesus, you can't unsee Jesus. When you experience Jesus, you can't unexperience Jesus. When you've experienced salvation, you can't unexperience salvation. Mary Magdalene says, "I have seen the Lord." And I'm wondering, are there people here today who can say, "I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord." And I want to tell you, he's real. And he's alive. I ask everyone to stand in this place. I'm wondering if there are people here today who on Resurrection Sunday would be willing to say, "I have seen the Lord." 12 months ago, I hadn't seen the Lord. Maybe 1 month ago, I hadn't seen the Lord. But today, I have seen the Lord. I have had a revelation of who Jesus Christ is in my life. I fought it for so long. I doubted it for so long. But I want to tell you now, let me tell you, Pastor, I have seen the Lord and I believe. And I'm wondering if there are some people here today, and ask Scott to come and the team to come. That today is an opportunity to tell other people and other believers that I indeed have seen the Lord. And that's why we offer baptism every Easter Sunday. That through the waters of believers' baptism and publicly telling people that I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that I actually identify myself with the great truth of Easter, that I indeed identify myself with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that what has happened to Jesus has happened to me. I will choose to be obedient to Jesus' command, and I want to be baptized today on Easter Sunday. I want to tell other people and I want to tell the world that I have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And today is my day. That Easter 2024 is my day of baptism because repent, let me tell you, and the person would want to say this as well, because repentance and forgiveness should not be whispered, muttered, or mumbled. I'll say that again. Because repentance and forgiveness should not be whispered, muttered, or mumbled, but rather shouted from the rooftops. That the work of Christ in my life is unfinished and ongoing, but I'm here to tell people today that I am saved and I have been redeemed through the grace of God. And I'm wondering, I know there's at least two people who are going to say, "I've seen the Lord today," but I'm not naive enough to think that there's not other people here today who've come to this place today who go, "You know what, Holy Spirit is just knocking on the door of my heart and soul right now. And I know that this is my moment. You are amongst friends, you are amongst family, that you can say, "You know what, I've seen the Lord." I don't have all the answers to all my questions. I don't have all that, but this is what I know. I believe, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and my personal Lord and Savior. I have seen the Lord and I want to tell others about it. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you haven't come prepared. We've got black t-shirts, black shorts, towels. We've got everything there. That if you're ready, let me tell you, we're ready, and God is certainly ready. Because the napkin is folded and he has unfinished business. Amen?